First Peter chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verse number 4. But before we dig into that, we find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God called Moses to lead the people of Israel, about 3 million people. Moses was to lead them throughout the wilderness for 40 years and to guide them through the wilderness and all the troubles and trials. And we know, you know, those of you who are familiar with the story, you know that this is a time when Moses was very frustrated many times. The people of Israel were rebellious. They wanted to, they said, no, we want to go back to Egypt and go back to where we had nice food and we don't like all this manna that we're getting. We don't like all the wilderness. We don't like the fact that we don't get any water. We're having a hard time. We'd like to be able to go back home where we were. And they gave Moses all kinds of troubles. And at one point along this time, his own brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron, turned on him and rebelled against him. And when that happened, Moses, how did he respond? Did he get mad at them and say, you rebels? No, he didn't do that. He stayed calm. And God said, in one passage of Scripture, God said Moses was the meekest man on earth. What a statement. What a statement. He was the meekest man on earth. We're going to learn about meekness today. And the text that we have before us this morning is applied primarily to wives, but I'm going to show you that it's not just for wives to have meekness. We all need meekness. And so as we look at this morning, keep your hearts and minds open to that as we dig into this there. And I want to answer three questions about meekness and a quiet spirit as we dig into the message this morning. But let's begin by reading. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 3, and it'll give us some context. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste or holy conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. We've been looking for several weeks now at the subject of our spirit. Our spirit. We've talked about an angry spirit. We've talked about the burdened spirit. We've talked about various kinds of spirits that we have and struggle with. And this morning we're going to be talking about two that we really need. We need a meek and a quiet spirit. A meek and a quiet spirit. And so as we dig into this, answering three questions that will help us, the first question I want us to notice is this. When do we need a meek and quiet spirit? When do we need that? Well, looking at the text again, in the context, it's talking to a married woman here, and Peter was writing and telling her that she needed to be submissive or arrange herself under the leadership of her husband. And that's not always easy. And he mentions here that her husband may or may not be obedient to the word of God. Now that means that it may be that he's not even a Christian, or it could be that he's just not a Christian that's living for God. Either way, it's difficult. And when a woman has a husband that's not a Christian or is not living for God, it makes it even more complicated, more difficult to be a submissive wife that is God, will be all that God wants her to be. And so Peter's addressing this in this context, and so it helps us to understand the context. And God knows what he's doing, and he has it all planned out, and he will work through this and meet the needs. Now, even if her husband is not obeying the word, she still needs to be a godly Christian wife and that is doing right. It says in verse 2 that she was to be chaste or holy. And in verse 3, it talks about her adorning shouldn't be the outward adorning. That doesn't mean that she shouldn't dress nice. It simply means don't focus on that. Don't focus on the outside, but focus on the inside. He said we need to focus on what's deep down inside. You know, that is so very, very important because and it's not just for women, but he is applying it here to women. So let me just illustrate for a moment. You know, a woman that is a wife that is a beauty on the outside but a beast on the inside is going to have a miserable husband. All right? Miserable marriage. Doesn't work. All right? So God doesn't want us to focus just on the outside. You know, you can be very beautiful on the outside, but if on the inside you're hard to get along with and you're not at all a meek and quiet person and just are making life miserable for your husband, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have a hard time. And that is a challenge. And it is not easy to arrange yourself under someone else. But you know, that is true in every area of life. It doesn't matter whether you're at work. You know, you go to work, you're going to have a boss that's over you, unless you are the boss, and then you've got a lot of responsibility. But even a boss has got other people over them. You got the government over you. You got other people telling you what you can do and how you can run your business and things like that. So all of us have people that are over us, and we all are under someone else. And it's not easy to be a submissive and obedient and a faithful worker underneath someone else. And so God is not just picking on the women here. It is something that involves all of us. It's something we all struggle with. And every Christian needs to be clothed with this meek and quiet spirit that he talks about. And he says here that if the wife does that, notice in the end of verse 4, he says, if she has that meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. He said that is something that God looks at with great admiration. He says, this is very valuable. It is extremely valuable to have that kind of a spirit. And so as we consider the fact that this principle applies to all of us, we all need this meek and quiet spirit. Each of us need that to enable us to submit properly to those that are over us. We need a meek and quiet spirit. And we're going to be talking about what that is in just a moment. And so the external submission may be nothing more than unhappy compliance. You know, that happens all the time in business. You know, people, they get along with people just because they got to, not because they want to, not because they like the situation. Sadly, many homes are that way, where they tolerate each other, not because they really are happy or like each other, but just to keep peace. That's not a happy existence. God says there's a far better way. The far better way is to have a meek and quiet spirit that will help us to do things in God's way. And God says it'll be a great help to us if we'll do that. Now, this internal submission, this genuine submission that comes from the submissive heart is what God is after here. And he wants that in each of us. And this meek and quiet spirit is what we need toward all of our authorities that are over us. We need a meek and quiet spirit. And so as we look at this, we ask ourselves the second question then, what is a meek and quiet spirit? Right, that's a key question. What is a meek and quiet spirit? The first one we'll look at is the meek spirit. What does it mean to be meek? Well, in the Bible, the term that is used here literally refers to a mild disposition, a gentleness of spirit. So it's a mildness and a gentleness. Bible dictionary described it as being mild of things, of tame of animals. If you're talking about a meek animal, it would be a tame animal. Or gentle or pleasant if it's talking about people, or kindly. And so these are the various ways that the word is used. Now, meekness is very closely linked with humility. Very closely linked with humility and gentleness and kindness. God wants us to be meek, to be humble. You know, you think again of Moses and his leadership and the way that he led. He was a meek man, but he was very humble. He had all these people, they were always on his back. And what would happen? Almost every single time, now maybe not every time, but almost every single time when the people got upset and they were angry with Moses and they're blaming Moses because God didn't do this and God didn't do that and we need help. What did Moses do? The first thing he does is he drops to his knees in prayer. And he starts talking to God. God, be merciful to them. Because he knew what God was going to do. He knew God was going to get angry with them for being rebellious. And Moses pled for God to be merciful to them. You know, what an example for us. You know, when somebody's on our back, what do we do? Do we run a prayer or we just fight back? You know, our natural response is to fight back and bristle. But Moses didn't do that. He was a meek man. And he had a personality that God gave him there of meekness that we really need in our lives. You know, meekness is really the opposite of all that is self-centered. Self-centeredness is really the opposite. I want what I want. And you're not going to tell me what to do. It's my choice. I want it. And so that self-centeredness, and that is the opposite of what God is wanting us to have here. Some of the various commentators on this, they said that it's a tempered mind, not easily provoked to resentment. A tempered mind, not easily provoked to resentment. All right, so it's, again, think of Moses there. He was calm, even though they were trying him, they were trying their best to upset him, but Moses stayed calm. And that's what God wants us to do, to be meek and calm. It's that calm, tempered mind, says Easton in his dictionary. And then it's an absence of self-assertion. It's bearing tranquility with disturbances caused by others. It's putting up with the problems, putting up with things that people are giving to me in a hard time. It's being willing to be governed. So all these are our definitions of what it means to be meek. To be meek. Though Moses was a very powerful leader, as I said, God said that he was a very meek man. The passage that actually says that is in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men of which were upon the face of the earth." What a statement. More meek than any man on the whole earth. And yet Moses was one of the most powerful leaders that Israel ever knew. If you were to ask a Jew even today, who was one of your most powerful leaders in your whole Jewish history, Moses would likely be one of the very first people that they would mention. Because he was a very powerful leader. And yet God said he was meek. So that tells us something very important. Meekness isn't weakness. It isn't weakness. But it is leading in a way that is appropriate. It is having a humble spirit. It is a mild spirit. It's a mild disposition. It's instead of getting harsh and rash and hard on people, we are mild toward them. And that's what God wants us to be. We find in the scriptures in the New Testament, Jesus described himself as meek. We've read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, where Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jesus said, "I'm meek. Follow my example." And so the Lord Jesus is our perfect example of meekness. Again, you look at Christ's ministry. He did not rule with harshness. He did not scold his disciples rashly and harshly. He dealt with them in love. He dealt with them in tenderness. But yet he was a very firm leader as well. He was a meek man. One that he was mild. He was tender. And you know, that is what we need. We need that meekness so that we feel comfortable running to God. You know, you think about this in homes. Many times, children, if they're hurt, you know, when they fall down and they hurt, who do they run to? Usually mom. Why? Because mom's tender. And dad's not usually as tender. But there's a sense there when that's important to see. There's a certain meekness there that is part of the female nature that sometimes us men lack. And a meek spirit is not a weak spirit. Nor is it a self-centered spirit, but it is a humble spirit. It is a gentle spirit. It is kind. It is mild. It is calm. And it is not easily provoked. You know, this is the kind of spirit that we need, especially parents. Especially parents. You need that. We need that. If we speak harshly to our children, it's going to hurt them. You say, "Well, how am I supposed to get them to obey if I don't just bark at them?" Well, there's other ways of teaching them to obey without barking at them and being harsh with them. And it's easy to do. I'm sure I did it many times, but it's not the right way to do it. And God wants us to be meek. Then he also tells us we need to have a quiet spirit. What is a quiet spirit? Well, the word quiet there literally means quiet or tranquil. It is defined as keeping one's seat and thus undisturbed. All right. So the root idea of the word is to keep your seat. Not to jump up and get rash or say something, but to keep your seat and be calm and in the midst of troubles. You know, it reminds me of Jesus when he was on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples. The storm was raging. The disciples were frantic. They're bucketing water out of the boat and they're panicking and they finally called Jesus. Where was Jesus? Asleep on the pillow in the front of the boat. He wasn't disturbed. He wasn't concerned because he was in control. He knew that all would be well. He trusted the Father to take care of them. The disciples were frantic and they were not at peace. But Jesus had peace. He had that calmness, that quiet spirit that was necessary. Now, the idea of this quiet spirit is not creating disturbances. It's a quietness, a calm tranquility. It's the opposite of this element of disturbing and having this disturbances in our hearts. And it's a calm spirit, not an angry spirit. It doesn't cause disturbances, and it is a peacemaker. So this quiet spirit is a peaceful, peacemaking spirit. And God wants us to have that. We need that. We need that tranquility. And again, back in Peter's context here, he's saying to the wife, if your husband is not walking with God, or he's not even a Christian, you need to have a meek and quiet spirit in you that is humble and mild and gentle and one of peace and quietness. Why? Because the book of Proverbs tells us just the opposite. It says that a woman that is always angry and fighting and contentious and causing grief and arguing and debating, he said, you're better off living on the rooftop than living with a woman like that. It's difficult. It's difficult. And here God's telling us, no, Peter says, you need to be meek and quiet, meek and quiet, controlling your spirit and govern yourself. But you know, as I said earlier, it isn't just for the wife. It's all of us. We need that meek and quiet spirit. We need it in our daily activities. We need it in our interaction with each other. We certainly need it in our families. We need it as we rear our children. You're going to need lots of it in the next 6 weeks while the kids are on holiday. It's a time where you need to be meek. And remember, meekness is not weakness. It doesn't mean you let them go and tear the place apart. But you lead with gentleness. Lead with meekness. Lead with this spirit of meekness and quietness in our hearts. And God is urging us to do this. Now, as we think then about this, meekness and quiet spirit, the meek and quiet spirit is a humble spirit. It's a gentle spirit. It's not easily provoked. It remains calm in the midst of trials, and it is a peacemaker. So that's the idea of this meek and quiet spirit that God is telling us we need. You know, we need to ask ourselves a question. It's a thought-provoking question. If God spoke and dealt with me like I speak and deal with others, would I sense God's love for me? You need to stop and think about that. The way you speak to your children, or the way you treat your children, or treat your spouse, or talk to your spouse, if God spoke to you and talked to you like that, would you feel like God really loved you? And if not, we got some work to do. We're to follow His example. All right? God wants us to be a meek and quiet person when it comes to the way we interact with other people. And listen, I've been on the guilty side of it. I'm not pointing a finger at you and say, hey, you're guilty and I'm not. I've been there, done that too. I know it's hard. But it's something we need to work at and strive toward. You know, toward our spouse, toward our children, toward other Christians. We need to treat them in the way that we want to be treated. That's why Jesus said, you know, as we paraphrased what He commanded there in Matthew 7:12, do unto others you would have them do unto you. We need to do that to other people. We need to treat people like we want to be treated. And so God wants us to have this meek and quiet spirit like He has, like Moses had, like we're all supposed to have. Now, how can we get this meek and quiet spirit? That's a good question. How do we get that? Well, Peter gives us a strong indication of where it comes from, even in the text we're looking at this morning. Verse number 4 again, he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. All right, so he says this meek and quiet spirit comes from the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Now, what does that mean? That's kind of confusing talk. Well, when he talks about this hidden man of the heart that's not corruptible, he's talking about that new part of a believer that is inside of him, that new man that is inside of us that has been changed. When Christ saves a person, He changes them from the inside out. You know, before a person comes to the Lord to save them, they have their sinful nature. And they have to try to live in that sinful nature. And their sinful nature often leads them astray and gets them into trouble and gets them into doing things they shouldn't do. And God says when we become a Christian and we put our faith and trust in Christ, He gives us a new nature. Now, I'm not sure why, and I'm not questioning God on this, but I'm not sure why He didn't take the old nature out and just give us the brand new one. That would be wonderful. But we got both now, all right? We got a new nature, and the old nature is still in there. And there's a battle between the two of them on a regular basis. Because the new nature says, do right, walk with God. yield to the Spirit, obey the Bible. And the old nature says, no, do your own thing, follow your own will, do what you want to do. God's too narrow. And the old nature tells us to go wrong, the new nature tells us to go right, and there's a battle between the two. And here he talks about the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible. The incorruptible part is that part that's going to live forever, that new nature that we have as a Christian. And so he says that it starts with that new nature. So in other words, in order for us to have this meek and quiet spirit like God's talking about here to the fullest extent, we have to be a Christian. Now I know that there are some unbelievers that have never trusted Christ yet that have a certain degree of meekness and quietness. I'm not going to deny that. Some people just have more of a meek and quiet personality. You meet some people, they're just kind of always jolly and gentle, but that doesn't mean that they have what God is talking about here. To be able to have all that God wants us to have in this area, we've got to have a new nature inside of us, because it just won't work otherwise. You got to have the new nature living in us. So it starts by becoming a Christian, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, to make you a new person, to wash you clean, to give you a new life, and he comes to live inside of you and gives you the ability then to do what seems to be impossible, humanly speaking. We need God in his Spirit living in us to help us. And we read about that in several places in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So God says we became a new creature when we trusted Christ. If you've never yet trusted Christ your Savior, you don't have that new creature living in you. You don't have that new heart living in you, that the Spirit of God living in you to help you. And you are going to have a hard time trying to be meek and quiet. But once we come to know Christ, he lives in us, and we have that available there. Now, once we also have to remember, though, even though you have the Spirit of God living in you as a Christian, you've got to yield to him or it won't work. I mean, if he says, come on, do it this way, and you say, no, I'm going to do it my own way, well, you're not going to get the benefits of it. God wants you to yield to his leading in your life as he urges you to do the right thing. So we need to have that new relationship. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When he talks about this, he's talking about that new relationship. He says, we're his workmanship and created in Christ Jesus. He made us new when we trusted Christ, and he gave us a new heart. And so that's where it really has to begin. But as I mentioned a moment ago, you've got to yield your heart to the Spirit of God's leading in order for it to work. It's just not going to work. You're not going to be able to get a meek and quiet spirit. It takes work. It takes work to develop this. It isn't just a sudden thing. You know, for years I just kind of would get frustrated and think, God, I pray and pray that you just make me a different person. Take away this angry spirit in me. Take away this, you know, this grumpiness and this lack of a meek spirit. And take that away and just give me that new spirit you talk about. And I'm just saying, Lord, you're not answering my prayer. And then it dawned on me. God didn't say he was just going to zap me with this. It's something I got to work at. Because the Spirit of God is living in me to try to help me. But if I won't cooperate with him, it's not going to happen. And God's not going to just one day, I'm going to wake up in the morning and all of a sudden, wow, I got this new spirit. No more troubles, no more problems, no more of this troubles with sin. It's not going to happen until we get to heaven. All right? And when we get to heaven, it'll be wonderful. Because that's one of the greatest things that I'm looking forward to about going to heaven, is to get rid of this sinful nature completely and have only my new nature. The old nature's gone. No more temptation, no more sin, no more struggles with that, no more troubles, no more trials. We'll be with the Lord forever in heaven. That'll be absolutely wonderful. But until then, we got to put up with the old nature. And so we've got to cooperate with the Spirit of God who's living in us to help us to do right. So as Christians, we must yield to him. And that's what Peter was talking about here. He says in verse 2 that the wife needed to have a chaste conversation. Or the word chaste means holy. Her holy conversation, her holy way of life. And coupled with fear. Fear for God, that she might be able to help her husband and fear her husband and obey him. And then verse number 3, he says that she was to adorn herself or clothe herself, not just with the outward appearance, you know, of making herself look beautiful, but, verse 4, with the hidden man that's in the heart, that which is deep down inside, he says, let that come out and have a meek and quiet spirit that God might be able to use her. And God said that is what's very, very valuable. So the Spirit of God must work in us. And as the Spirit of God works in us, we need to yield to Him. Now, there needs to be a submissiveness to Him. The fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. So meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And a fruit of the Spirit will produce His fruit in us as, again, we let Him do that. He's not going to do it automatically. Just because you're a Christian and the Spirit of God lives in you, you cannot automatically say, oh, I got all these fruits of the Spirit. It doesn't happen that way. He's there. He's available. He will develop it in your life, but you've got to cultivate it, just as I illustrated a few weeks ago with a fruit tree. You can take a fruit tree, you can buy the nicest fruit tree you want in the nursery, you bring it home, you stick it in the ground. If you never water it, you never feed it, you never take care of it, what's going to happen? It's going to die. It's going to die. Because you've got to do something for it. You can't get fruit out of it if you don't take care of it. And the same thing is true with the Spirit of God in us. He wants to produce fruit, but if you don't have any kind of a walk with Him and a fellowship with Him and have a relationship with Him and you don't do what He says, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So we've got to bring ourselves into a closer relationship with Him. And that reminds us that if we have right beliefs about God, it'll help us to have this right, meek, and quiet spirit. We've talked quite a bit about that recently. But having a right perspective of God, the fact that God always loves you. God will never leave you. He is all wise. He is always knows everything that is, and He knows what is best. And He is all that we need. And just have a right perspective of God. I begin making a list as I go through my Bible reading and studies. I'm making a list of the character qualities of God. And I've just entitled it, God is, and then I find verses that fill in the blank. God is love. God is holy. God is righteous. God is faithful. God is always with me. And go on and on and on. I mean, I've got pages and pages of verses that talk about God's character. And the reason I'm doing that is not just for something to do because I don't have anything else to do, but it's so that I can go back to that and draw on that. And we need those realities of who God is. So that as we think about who God is, and the devil says, God's going to fail you today. God doesn't love you anymore because of what you did. God's never going to forgive you. You can go back to those verses and say, hey, listen, God said He would always forgive me. God is always merciful. God is always loving. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. God will never let me down. God is always true. God is always... And we can remember that, and it'll help us and strengthen us. I need that. You need that. I challenge you to try doing that. It'll be a great help to you if you'll do that. So we need to get to know God, and we need to humbly yield to God's sovereignty in our life to be able to produce this meekness and meek and quiet spirit that God wants us to have. You know, we ask ourselves, well, what else can I do to help me? Well, here's another very practical thing you can do to get a meek and quiet spirit. Identify every time you fail. You react in some way that wasn't a meek and quiet way that you should have reacted. You need to identify that in your own mind, and then you need to say, that was wrong. That was wrong. I did not respond right. I did not react right. I was wrong. And then we need to confess it both to God and to those we've hurt and ask their forgiveness. And that's humbling. But why do we do this? It helps us. You know, have you ever noticed that every time you humble yourself to confess what you did and ask for forgiveness from somebody, that it helps strengthen you so you're not as quick to do it the next time? It really does. It'll help us. We need that. And then we need to pray every day, God, please help me to have a meek and quiet spirit. Help me not to get up. Help me to have a meek and quiet spirit like I'm supposed to have. And we need to pray and depend upon God. We need God's strength. And God says that this kind of a humble spirit is priceless. That's why God said throughout the scriptures many different times, like He did in James 4:10, He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. God lifts up those that are humble and He puts down those that are proud. And God says you need to be humble. You know, the devil's going to want us to think that if we submit to those over us with a meek and quiet spirit, that they're going to walk on us and mistreat us. Does that ever happen? Sometimes it does. Not always. Occasionally it does. Somebody will take advantage of you. Somebody else walk on you. Somebody will hurt you. But here's a verse to remember that's an encouragement to us. And that truth is that God will settle the score. God will settle the score. You don't need to worry about it. If someone mistreats you for some reason, God will settle the score. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment for to be punished." He says God knows how to deal with it. And so if you live a meek and quiet life and you do what is right and you treat people in a meek and quiet way and you humble yourself and you submit to the authorities that are over you in a proper way and you lead in the right way and you lead your family in the right way and you speak to your children and your wife in the right way and you deal with things in the right way and you do it God's way and you are meek and quiet and they take advantage of you and they run over you and they hurt you in some way, God says, listen, I will deal with it. I will settle the score at the end. God's not going to let that go unseen. God will deal with every offense. And so we don't have to worry about it. Book of Romans chapter 12 tells us there again that we're not to avenge ourselves. It's a little different situation. But he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God's going to take care of every situation. We don't have to worry about it. It's not my job. It's not your job. It's God's job. He'll take care of it. And we need to leave it in his court. And so this morning, as we have looked at this subject of a meek and a quiet spirit, we need to look inside of our hearts and examine our activities and our outside and the way that we talk and the way that we act and ask ourselves that very important question. Do others see me as a meek and quiet person? Or am I a harsh and hard to get along with person that is always complaining and fighting and bickering and demanding my rights and scolding others? And, you know, there's times for proper rebuke. I'm not saying that. You know, I'm not saying let the kids run wild. That's not right. That's not the right thing to do. And there is time for that, but there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And God says we need to have a meek and a quiet spirit. And if our spirit is not a meek and a quiet spirit, we're hurting others. And you know, you can evaluate in your own heart and your own experiences when you've worked for people that had a meek and quiet spirit. And you did something wrong, they would rebuke you in a kind and loving way, but you'd get, you know, have a loving rebuke. And then there's other people you've worked for that just bite your head off if you did something wrong. And you know which one you'd prefer working for. And that's the way it is in life. We know what we like, but sometimes we don't give what we like. We need to respond the same way. And so, as we conclude this morning, ask God whether or not you have a genuine, meek, and quiet spirit. And if you're lacking that, or if it's often missing, then it's time to just seek God's wisdom and say, God, there's something lacking in my life. It may mean that you need to know Jesus as your Savior. That's the possibility. You can't really have this kind of a meek and quiet spirit without that. That's where it's got to start. But many of you have already trusted Christ your Savior. And if you've done that, then what we need is we need to just submit to God. And you say, God, I've got a problem. I need your help. I need your strength. And we begin praying about it earnestly and say, God, would you please help me? And every time we fail, we need to identify and say, I failed. And we don't deny it. And we go take care of it with those that we've hurt. And we ask God to forgive us. And we get back up and we do what's right. And we keep on praying and say, God, you've got to work in my life and help me to change. And God will help us if we'll do that. So whether you're a wife that is in a home situation where you're struggling and your husband's kind of hard to get along with and hard to get, you know, you just can't seem to get on with him, then God says one of the solutions is to be a meek and a quiet person. Not easy, but important. But for the rest of us that aren't in that situation, it also applies to us. We need a meek and quiet spirit at work. We need a meek and quiet spirit with our spouse. We need a meek and quiet spirit with our kids. We need a meek and quiet spirit with others that we interact with. This is important in every area of life. We need a meek and a quiet spirit. You children need to have a meek and a quiet spirit. It's not just for the adults. It's for all of us. We need a meek and quiet spirit. And instead of being ruffled and anxious and angry and bitter and upset about everything, little thing that happens, we need a meek and quiet spirit. even with your siblings, when you're playing with your brothers and sisters and stuff, you need to have a meek and quiet spirit instead of always demanding your rights. Remember, it deals with humility, humbling yourself, and being willing to let others don't go first and let others do things. It's having a meek and a quiet spirit. We need to ask God, God, I need a meek and a quiet spirit. Help me to do that today.